2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means." And that's in regards to the fact that he's saying to them that you're not in the day of the Lord. It has not yet begun. He said, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come first a falling away." We talked about that last week in the context of apostasy, and we'll look more in the weeks to come at that idea. There has to become, he says, this falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, notice, sitteth in the temple of God, so it will be rebuilt, showing himself that he is God. This is all future. "Remember ye not that when I was with you, I kept telling you these things? And now you know what restraineth, that he might," the Antichrist, "might be revealed," there's our word again, "in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now restraineth will restrain until he," the sense of it, "removes himself from the way. And then," he says, "and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume," future, "shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall," future, "destroy with the brightness of his coming." Obviously, that has not taken place yet. When Jesus speaks about the desolation of abomination, the Antichrist sitting himself in the temple, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, he speaks of it as future. So, as an aside, there are those who try to fit Antiochus Epiphanes into the picture. That certainly has not fulfilled what we're looking at here. A number of places looking future to this situation. What is telling us is that there is this player, this last day's personality to be revealed, this Antichrist. It's very interesting as we look at the chessboard today. All the players are on the chessboard. All parties are present except this one, who's an integral part of it. All of the other players are present. They're on the stage. They're on the chessboard as we look around. But it says there is this one player, three times we read, to be revealed, unveiled, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the apocalypse, the unveiling, that's the word here. The Antichrist also is going to be unveiled, revealed in his time. It says right now that's being restrained. And again, I believe Satan has always had a player on the chessboard. It would have been Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin at any time if God would not have restrained. You know, if you read the Third Reich, you read some of these things, you know, they called Hitler the carpet biter. He would see visions. There was supernatural aspect, demonic, to what was happening, you know, in that whole process. At any time, Satan would have done it, but this person's been restrained. God hasn't allowed it. But the picture is coming together, that's for sure, as we look at this. We know that when he is revealed, when he comes into the open, he will be recognized. We are told in the book of Daniel as one who comes, chapter 7, chapter 2, 10 toes, 10 horns. Another horn arises, speaking great things, blasphemies, eyes like a man, that he is pictured as arising out of a revived Roman Empire, a European power, Northern Mediterranean. That is how this Antichrist is presented to us. It tells us in Daniel chapter 9, the mark that sets him aside is that Daniel here being addressed by Gabriel in regards to 70 heptads, weeks of years that are designated to be fulfilled upon this thy people, the sanctuary and so forth, Israel specifically. 69 of those weeks have gone by, 483 years, very exactly. If you want to read Sir Robert Anderson's The Coming Prince, does a great job of laying that out. He says, after 483 years, shall, verse 26 of Daniel 9, shall Messiah be cut off. He's going to be killed wonderfully, but not for himself. Certainly for us. He doesn't get anything out of it but us. And the people of a prince that shall come. One of the names for the Antichrist, a prince that shall come. The people of a prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and the end of war and desolations are determined. The people that destroyed the city and the sanctuary were the Romans under Titus Vespasian. And the temple destroyed. He didn't want to do that. The Jews fought. They retreated there. The Roman soldiers, so angry, started a fire and so forth. So we know for sure the people that destroyed the temple, the sanctuary, the city, were the Romans. There's no doubt about that. And the prince that shall come, we are told, will be of those people. Revived Roman Empire, Europe, certainly part of that. Daniel says it's toes of iron and miry clay. It's not the same coalescence as we saw in the ancient Roman Empire, but certainly economically and so forth, it is coming to the fore. And in verse 27, it says, he, antecedent, has to go back to the prince that shall come. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 7-year period. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Is what Jesus spoke about, the desolation of abomination. For the overspreading of the abomination, make it desolate and so forth. It's what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that he will seat himself in the temple and proclaim to be God. So it's telling us there is a European leader in the last days who is going to come to the fore. He's going to arise out of Europe. What he will do when he comes to power is he will sign a 7-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel. That's how we will know him. That's how he is unveiled. Part of that treaty will give Israel the right to rebuild her temple. No doubt on the Temple Mount. Or at least a naos, at least some structure with a holy place. Newsflash, there is no European leader today, or any leader, that can guarantee Israel a 7-year peace treaty and the right to rebuild her temple with the Dome of the Rock Mosque on the Temple Mount, with Islam as a major force in that part of the world, and Russia moving in quickly. No one has the authority to guarantee that to Israel at this point in time. We are nowhere near someone developing this kind of a peace treaty at present. In fact, Iran today, it says, the Ayatollah said that the return of the Mahdi is coming. They believe that there's an imam, a Mahdi, that's coming. And he's going to cause a 7-year, there's going to be a world conflagration. And then for 7 years, he's going to make the Jews live according to the Old Testament, the Christians live according to the New Testament, and the Muslims live according to the Quran. They believe that. They don't see him as the Antichrist, but they believe he's a Mahdi. Then they believe the Antichrist will come, Dajjal, and that Jesus will return. The second most holy prophet in Islam is Jesus. They believe Jesus Christ is going to return and destroy the Antichrist. It's an interesting collection of ideas as Christians look at their eschatology and Jews look at theirs. This prince that shall come is the Antichrist. He's going to come on the scene as a peacemaker. He'll have the answers to the world's problems. The world will be shaken. But understand, Iran today, how can we or anybody, Europe, guarantee Israel 7 years of peace? This is what we're hearing from Iran. This is in July 2015, while we're making a deal. Such a deal. Okay? We're making a deal. Their Ayatollah says the entire country is under the umbrella of this great movement, death to Israel and death to America. Ayatollah Khamenei, that's July 18th, 2015, 8 weeks ago. While we're making the deal, he's saying the whole country is moving towards death to Israel, death to America. Same day, even after this nuclear deal is signed, Khomeini says, our policy towards the arrogant U.S. will not change. Same day. Saying death to America is easy. We need to express death to America with action. God willing, the force of God behind it, behind us, we will soon experience a world without the United States and without Zionism. This is what they say in regards to Israel. How can we sign a peace treaty? It is the mission of the Islamic Republic of Iran to erase Israel from the map of the region. Again, one bomb is enough to destroy Israel. In due time, the Islamic world will have a military nuclear device. Again, Rafsanjani says Muslims should use nuclear weapons against Israel. Again, Israel must be wiped off the map. Again, I must announce that the Zionist regime of Israel, with 60-year record of genocide, plunder, invasion, betrayal, is about to die and will be erased from the geographical scene. Again, if the Jews all gather in Israel, it will save us the trouble of going after them worldwide. This is the religious conviction behind all of these things. And of course, ISIS is moving today. ISIS is looking vastly different. They want to set up a caliphate all over that part of the world. Look, Syria, as we know it, no longer exists. Iraq, as we knew it, no longer exists. The leader of ISIS says, rush, O Muslims, to your state. It is your state. Syria is not for Syrians. Iraq is not for Iraqis. The land is for Muslims, all Muslims. This is my advice to you. If you hold to it, you will conquer Rome and you will own the world. They still perceive Europe as the Crusaders, as Rome. We will conquer your Rome. We will break your crosses. We will enslave your women. And by the permission of Allah, the Exalted, this is his promise to us. He is glorified and he does not fail in his promise. If we do not reach that time, then our children or our grandchildren will reach it, and they will sell your sons as slaves in the slave market. Again, O Ummah Islam, indeed the world today has been divided into two camps, the camp of the Islamic faith and the camp of disbelief and hypocrisy. It is the camp of the Muslims and the Mujahideen everywhere, and it is the camp of the Jews, the Crusaders, and their allies with the rest of the nations everywhere else, all being led by America and Russia and being mobilized by the Jews. That's a mindset. Understand, you can do your best to work a deal in regards to nuclear weapons or oil or anything else. You can't negotiate Allah away from Islam, Jehovah away from the Jews, or Jesus Christ away from Christianity. Again, I've been to Jerusalem at least 24 times. And you go there, Friday is the holy day of the Muslims, Saturday the holy day of the Jews, Sunday the holy days of the Christians. There's no oil there, there's no gold there, there's no natural resources. It's a rocky hill that is the most strategic point on the face of the planet. And again, in every back alley and in every room where intelligence people meet, Israel and Jerusalem, as the Bible says, are the stumbling block of the nations of the world because of the tension of human belief that's there that will not be negotiated away. So how could anybody ever come out of Europe today and give Israel 7 years of peace and the right to rebuild their temple? That cannot take place until America, Russia, and Islam are brought to a much different place. That is for sure. Ezekiel gives us, I believe, a description of that battle. Ezekiel 38, 39 follow. Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones, the rebirth of the nation. When the Jews took their homeland again in 48, moved back in, and they excavated Masada, the ancient scroll they found there was Ezekiel 36, 37, 38, and 39. The place where their last battle was fought was the location of an ancient manuscript that talked about the next battle that they will face. This cannot be the Battle of Armageddon, because as you read through Ezekiel 38 and 39, there are no sores on all of mankind with the mark. That's no small issue. The water of the entire planet is not turned to blood. You hear nothing of that. The sun is not burning men and they're blaspheming God. There's no mention of that. That's no small issue. The Euphrates is not dried up and the kings of the east are not coming. All the kings of the earth have not been gathered by unclean spirits to Armageddon. It's very specific who's in this battle. The sun and the moon and the stars have not refused to shine. You would notice that. No mention of the Antichrist, of Jerusalem, or of the parousia, the return of Christ. Israel is dwelling confidently in their land as this is described. It is not the time of Jacob's trouble at the end of the... So we have this battle. Some try to put it at the end of the millennium because of Gog and Magog. It doesn't fit there. They burn the weapons for 7 years. Certainly they're not going to burn weapons into eternity at the end of the millennium. Gog and Magog are fairly easy to explain. Magog, Josephus, and Justinius, others tell us, are the Scythians, those north of the Caucasus Mountains, certainly today, Russia, and the steppes of Russia, the Stans that are there. But he says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog of the land of Magog. King James doesn't do a good job with the translation. It says the chief prince. The translation is the prince of Rush, of Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against them, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, prince of Rush, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn thee back, I will put hooks into thy jaws, I will bring thee forth, and thine army, horses, horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even great company with bucklers and shields, and them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and his bands, the house of Togarma, and all of the north quarters and all his bands, plural, and many people with them, plural, be prepared, he says in verse 8, after many days, in verse 8, in the latter years, in verse 14, in the latter days. So this is something that has never taken place. It is certainly something that is ahead of us. I think it plays a very strategic role. And certainly as we watch what's going on right now with Russia moving in Syria, Putin is solidly intensifying the Russian alliance with Iran. He has fully backed the Iran nuclear deal, despite the fact that the country is run by leaders that embrace an apocalyptic form of Islam. What's more, he's meeting with top Iranian leaders and selling the Iran the Kremlin state-of-the-art anti-aircraft missile system, the S-300. At the same time, Putin is arming Assad, the regime in Syria, the dictator of Damascus, and tens of thousands of Syrians are being killed and Syria is being reduced to rubble. He is also sending Russian combat troops, tanks, aircraft, other military material to Syria to help Iran prop up Assad and further establish the Russian-Iranian alliance on the northeastern border. If this weren't bad enough, Putin's Russia has now signed a $10 billion deal with Jordan to become a nuclear power. It has also set up and built nuclear facilities in Egypt. Russia seeking a hegemony to become a regional power, which we have always been in the Middle East. Understand, China, Russia, the United States still do not want a nuclear confrontation. China wants hegemony. They want to be the regional power, and they are pushing in that direction. Russia wants to be a regional power, and Russia wants to be the major power in the Middle East. With those powers, again, nobody can arise out of Europe with the animosity towards Israel and the amount of power that's there and the amount of power that Europe lacks at this point in time. But it tells us these players are Gog, first of all, who is of the land of Magog. He is the prince of Rosh. Prince of Rosh is a synonym to the word we have in Daniel chapter 10. When Daniel sets himself to pray, he prays for 21 days, and then Gabriel finally comes and says, Daniel, he said, when you began to pray, I came on my way, but the prince of Persia resisted me. And he gives him a prophecy, and he says, now I must go and contend with the prince of Persia, and after that, with the prince of Greece. And he said, Michael had the archangel had aided him. So we have there the prince of Persia, prince of Greece in ancient times. Gog, it tells us here, is the prince of Rosh. That's why he shows up again at the end of the millennium when he's released from the Abuso. He is a principality in power. Look, behind the scenes, you know, what's reality? You know, as we look at the world we're living in, what's reality? Just, you know, I hope the Eagles win a Super Bowl. That's not reality. What's reality is I have a wife, I have kids, and I have grandkids. Our economy is crumbling here. America is being constantly weakened, losing influence around the world. Russia is arising. Islam, a major force in that part of the world. And don't get me wrong, there's more Muslims coming to the love of God now than ever in the history of Islam. God loves them. There's more turning to Christ than ever. In Russia, the work that's taken place since the Iron Curtain has come down by the evangelical churches, it will never be stopped at this point in time. And I think we need to see a revival here in America, too. But behind the scenes, there are certainly principalities and powers. I am not into spiritual mapping, so don't come and talk to me about that afterwards. But there is specifically Gog here, the prince of Rosh. Meshech and Tubal are parts, ancient parts of what is Turkey today. It says, with them will be Persia. You should all know that's Iran. Until March of 1935, it was still Persia. That's when they changed their name to Iran in the last century. Ethiopia is not Ethiopia that we know today. It's Nubia, more properly, south of Egypt. It is the Sudan today, which is a Muslim stronghold. The Sudan. Libya is Muslim North Africa. It may spread as far as Morocco. They're not sure, but these are ancient names put and so forth for these areas. Gomer and his bands, the House of Togarma in Turkey today, certain regions still call themselves the House of Togarma. What it is telling us is this. Look, it says, in the last days, in the latter times, there will be this alliance that will form. Russia will become a major player in the Middle East. Go home and turn the TV on, okay? They will work with parts of, no doubt, Kurdistan, what was Armenia, Kosovo, Turkey from the north to come down on Israel. They will work with Iran in the east of Israel to come westward. They will work with Muslim North Africa to come from the south. Conspicuous by their absence here is Syria, Iraq, and Egypt. Now, we may be watching the dissolving of Syria and Iraq right before our eyes. But the players are on the chessboard. Are they all in their exact positions? I'm not saying that this morning. I'm saying there's enough around us that we should be looking at that there is spiritual reality happening around us that should be in the scales of our mind and heart, outweighing the temporary things of this life now. We need to be praying. We need to come to the war room. You look at what's happening around us. That is reality. And it says here in Ezekiel that they're going to come against the land of Israel, who's dwelling safely. It says the word means confidently, but it is in a context of false security, because God says when he moves, then they will know that he is the Lord. Then the word can be used in that sense. Israel is what? A land of unwalled villages. In Ezekiel's day, they never dreamed of that. No land would have unwalled villages. That's Israel today, gathered back from the nations of the world. And God says in the last days, this conflagration is going to come against his ancient people. And he says when they come, his fury is going to rise in his face. He says he's going to shake all of Israel. The fish of the sea will shake, the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the field, the creeping things upon the earth, the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down. The steep places shall fall. Every wall shall fall to the ground, i.e. the Dome of the Rock. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. The Hebrew is discombobulated. I'm joking. I will plead, and against him with pestilence, with blood, and I will rain upon him and his bands and upon many people that were with him, an overflowing rain of great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. I will magnify myself, and he says, and I will make my holy known name in the midst of my people, Israel. That is when there will be spiritual revival in Israel. Look, then, when this takes place, then someone will arise out of Europe. When the military back of Russia and of Islam is broken, then someone can arise out of Europe. When the whole world is freaked out and shaken, because every father and every mother is going to look at their kids and say, somebody's got to do something. This is insane. Somebody's got to come up with something. This is crazy. Somebody's got to come up with a plan. I can't live like this. We don't know whether there's nukes coming down. Don't know what's going to happen. There's no more food. There's no more economy. Somebody's got to do something. The world will be shaken. The stage will be set for this Antichrist, this seed of the serpent, this king speaking great things, this beast, this son of perdition, son of destruction, the lawless one. He will step on the scene. Then he can exert a power when Russia and Islam are removed. And the whole world will clamor after him. He'll come as a man of peace, white horse, bow, no arrow, with a peace plan. He will sign a treaty with the nation of Israel, guaranteeing the Middle East, solidifying the oil cartels. He will sign a treaty for Israel to have peace for 7 years and give her the right to rebuild her temple, because he's going to sit in it. The question, looking at the alignment of nations and the things that are going on around us right now, is how can that take place now? What's happening? What would ever move? Because here's the truth. We have lost a lot of good leaders, over 130 generals in the last 7 years have resigned or been asked to leave. Our number of troops and everything's been degraded. Other side of that, behind the scenes, technology, we're 20 to 30 years ahead of the Russians or the Chinese. The stuff they don't talk about. The toys they're saving for the big show that they don't want to pull out, that are in space and under the water. And they know that. So no one wants a nuclear confrontation now. MAD still has some effect, mutually assured destruction. What would embolden Islam and Russia to finally make this move? I am not prophesying. Don't tell the world Pastor Joe said this. I'm just giving you my own distorted opinion. You're all entitled to your own distorted opinion. This is mine. The rapture of the church will not break the back of Islam or Russia. It would cause pandemonium here. It would break our back financially. It would put this nation into a tailspin that it's never been in since it was founded. That would embolden Russia and Islam to move on their ancient enemy. Russia has a different motive. 2 years ago, Putin was in Jerusalem and talked to Netanyahu. Netanyahu talked to him about Iran. He said, don't worry, we can handle the Iranians. Sign a deal with us with the 13 trillion cubic feet of natural gas you found off the shore. Netanyahu said, no, I'll have to think about that. Putin left Israel angry because what could break the back of Russia financially is if Israel starts to market that natural gas. Well, last year over there, the Israelis told me, oh, we know it's there. I said, well, how do you know? He said, because lawyers are involved. The other thing they're not talking about is where there's gas, there's oil. Where there's gas, there's oil. Russia will have a different motive than Islam. Islam will go there just to destroy the Jews, to wipe them off the map. Russia will partner with them, wanting a spoil, wanting to take goods. God says, I will call for them. I'm going to gather them. I'm going to put hooks in their jaws and bring them out of their place in the north. Gog, that principality, that power. God says, I will do this. There isn't anything out of control. There isn't anything out of control. You're thinking, I could have stayed. I should have stayed home. This is depressing. Should have stayed home. I could have been cooking for the Eagles this afternoon. I could have, you know, something, you know. This is not depressing. For us, when you see these things begin to take place, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. This is the blessed hope of the church, not the bummer hope, the blessed hope. I love this country. My dad was with the Naval Department for 30 years. I grew up that way. I love this country. This is not the country I grew up in. Can it turn around? If there's a revival that sweeps this land, it can turn around. I'm up for that. I'd like to get the heck out of here, but because I'm that selfish. I got saved in 72. The heck with everybody else. Get me out of here. But look, but the truth is I have good friends that are not saved. I have relatives that are not saved. I would love to see one great ingathering in this nation. And I think we're going to see it, because a little further on, the Lord's going to say, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for that reason I gave them over to the deception of the Antichrist. So there's one more great offer, it seems to me. That's what we should be praying for. Lord, take us up or you come down. Up or down. We're good either way. We're up or down, Lord. We're good. That'd be a good bumper sticker, wouldn't it? Up or down. Somebody should do it. Up or down. Either way, Lord, we're good. Look, challenge to you guys today. What is reality? What is reality? Behind the scenes, there are things going on, not seen with the human eye. You know, it's funny. Kathy was talking to me last week, and she was somewhere, and somebody dropped the grandkids were there, and somebody dropped their iPhone on the floor. And Jordan, who's 7 months old, headed right for it. 7 months old. I'll come times to all the grandkids. But I'll tell you one of the things that's happening. There's no analytical skills being developed. There's no logic being developed. There's no ability to think properly being developed. All the information is being handed to you. You don't have to retrieve it anymore. It comes, and we're not cultivating. This is the world that people are in. Again, get off an airplane at the airport and go to the luggage rack while people are waiting for their luggage. Every person is. They should have luggage that goes by and says, I'm here, I'm here. And I'm just saying that because, you know, we were talking to Brian last week, who does the college ministry, said there's so many young people say, I can't concentrate when I read. Well, of course. You need cartoons. You need color. You can't. Reading is a different skill. Beyond that, you know, the human being, even in a classroom, in a school, the most advanced technology is not the computers or the iPads or the boards. The most advanced technology in the classroom is the eyeball, the ear, and the brain. It so supersedes any technology that we can even dream of. Human beings have an innate ability to look in the face of another human being and tell by the look in their eye and the tone of their voice what's really being said. You can't do that. So I hate emails here because somebody emails and they say, I think, because then the devil interprets the email for you. No, walk 200 yards and sit down and look in their face and listen to the tone of their voice, then you won't need the devil to tell you what the email means. Because we have abilities, sensitivity, spiritual gifts. And we are being, as a nation, wholesale desensitized. What we need to do is cultivate that ability in prayer, alone with the Lord, in fellowship with one another, sitting with His Word and letting it speak to us off the page, so that we realize around us there's a greater reality. There are principalities. There are powers. There is Gog, the prince of Rush, who is moving today. Michael is positioning himself in regards to the nation of Israel. Angelic powers are moving. Michael's ready to step back into that position. That's why it says in 1 Thessalonians, the Lord himself will descend with a shout, the voice of the archangel. What would he have to do with the rapture? Except he's going back on duty again when we go up. The voice of the archangel, Michael, the trump of God. My exhortation to you is, let's encourage one another. Let's not neglect the gathering together of ourselves, as it says in Hebrews. Let us exhort one another to faith and good works. The reality of the Bible is coalescing around us. That is as real as anything worse. We can get very distracted by the horizontal. There are greater realities. And for us to be worth our salt, for us to be light in this day, in a lost world, that world that drives you crazy out there is the world that says, God so loved that world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We are the last link to this lost world. You alone are the light of the world. You alone are the salt of the earth. Once we're gone, all hell breaks loose. For now, let's do our job. Amen? Sinners are doing their job. They're good sinners. They're sinning hard. Hollywood's doing their job. Washington, if the church was doing their job the way the world is doing their job, things would be really cooking. So let's get on fire. Let's ask, every day, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Let me see, Lord, the news through the lens of your word. Let me understand and have it in presence of mind that reality around me right now is a biblical reality. Amen? That is reality. And if we love our spouses and our kids and our grandkids, we have to stand now, as Paul says in Ephesians 6. We have to take our stand and not give ground. We need to take our stand. So let's stand. Father, we thank you for these things, Lord, the light you've given us in the day that we live in. And Lord, when we look around, again, amazed at the broadest subject in the New Testament is your return, Lord, as any husband would say to his bride, I'm coming for you, or any father would say to his sons and daughters, when you see these things, don't be freaked out. Those are things that are telling you, I'm on my way. Lord, let that ring in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. Don't let us, Lord, take our position by what we see around us, Lord. Let us see past those things, Lord. Let us stand on biblical ground, Lord, in this day, Lord. Let us enjoy life. Lord, you daily load us with benefits. We enjoy those things. But Lord, let there be a sobriety that's not legalistic, but sanctified. Let us remember that we shouldn't entangle ourselves with civilian affairs. You've called us to duty, to active duty, Lord. And we love you. We can't believe you've chosen us. You've saved us. You've made us your own. Lord, we can't imagine living in this day without your word. We can't imagine watching the news and not knowing what Ezekiel and Daniel and Paul and John had to say to us about these days. Lord, don't let that be wasted on us, Lord. Don't let familiarity breed contempt in our lives, Lord. Reawaken within us, Lord, a call to action, Lord, to duty that's wonderful and full of grace and tender mercy, Lord. Lord, we ask, Lord, let this be in our lives the day of your power, we pray, in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen.